Listen to this episode to learn about the brand building entrepreneur.
Get money.
This is the Come Up Steps to Success podcast with your hosts, James Lawson and Courtney Steven.
We're about to learn how from the man himself, Ryan, Mr. KOA. And that's all you really need to know him by because, I mean, most people probably call you KOA all the time.
Or KOA because they don't know it's an acronym.
Okay, wow, you get KOA?
Daily.
Does that annoy you?
100%. 100%.
So for those who don't know, break it down real quick. What is KOA?
So KOA is a beast in itself. It's also bigger than me. I guess we can start from the beginning. Is that what we're doing right now? Start from the beginning.
Tell us the story.
Are we jumping into this right now? Okay. KOA. It stands for King of Arts. How I came up with that name, very interesting, actually. I played university basketball out in Ottawa for the Ottawa GGs. Played 3 years there. Blew my knee. That was it.
Wait, hold on. The GGs, they're good.
The GGs good. Yeah, we were top in the country.
They're a top team. I know.
We were battling between Carleton back then. So Carleton was always number one. We're kind of number two. Like,
okay.
But I got recruited to go to Ottawa. Great school. City, I didn't really like Ottawa. I didn't really like the city of Ottawa too much.
No.
But the people, the team, everything, I loved it. But yeah, so I played 3 years there. 2 years, I played very, 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 very well. My second year, we got a new coach. So the coach that recruited me there, he only coached us for 1 year. After his first year, he took another job at McGill. So I was pissed because I was like, I just got in my first year. You recruited me here and you're gone. Right? So I'm like, wow, okay, but my team's here. I love the guys here. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to suck it up. Whoever we get next, like, we'll all figure it out together, you know?
Exactly.
Don't you hate that about sports, though?
Hate it.
It's just like, as an athlete, you put in everything. You're there, but then the dynamics can change at any given 100%. Moment. It's almost like life, actually, though.
Yeah.
Because like, you could be doing something, and the situation changed, the market changed. You got to adapt.
You got to adjust.
So tell me how you adapted into the change, like after the coach, you know, just said, hey, I'm off it.
It was tough because I feel like he lied to us. Because when he recruited me, because at the time I was talking to Courtney earlier, I had to choose between basketball and football. So I had offers from McMaster for football or Ottawa for basketball. And I was like, I love basketball. I like football, but I don't love football. I'm good at it. I'm a receiver. I'm good at football, but I didn't love it. You know I play football, but I didn't love it the way I loved basketball. So I'm like, I could have done both, but I'm like, in terms of when you're in school, like it's a daily thing. If you're not loving it,
it's a grind.
Like, it's a grind. You have to love what you're doing because you're missing class, you're missing all the events, you're missing all the parties sometimes. Like you got to love it or else you're not going to get by, right? So I decided to commit to basketball. The coach told me, he's like, you know what? I want you to come out here. I'm the builder around you guys. There's a couple of other guys that are coming with me. He's like, when you guys come, we're going to build around you guys. Told us all the fluff you
hear. He told you the right things.
All the right things.
Yeah.
1 year, the guy's out. So I'm like, what the?
He had bigger and better plans.
Yeah. Like, and the thing is, like, I get it because he got the 20 grand raise. McGill was offering more money. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of morally, he knew he was leaving before he recruited us. Right?
Right.
Anyway, new coach comes. Dynamic shifts because now he's like, we're the other coach's guys. He wants his kind of players.
Naturally.
He's like, I can't get rid of you guys are here. So it's kind of, he's just treating us differently. Like he's not cutting us yet, but he's kind of, you can tell it's a different dynamic. Like we're not his guys. Anyway, dealt with that for 1 year. So that was my second year. After my second year, I come back for my third year and he's like, all guys have to stay for the summer now. I'm from Toronto. So everyone in Ottawa, most of the people on the team are from Toronto. Except for a few guys that are from the city there.
It's like 5 hour drive.
Yeah, 5 hour drive. But we all, like in the summertime, we're there all year, all school year. In the summertime, you go home and kick it with our friends. He's like, nah, this year we're all staying. I'm like, what the hell?
Right.
And he gave us like a, you know, people are passive aggressive. And they're like, I mean, you could go home if you want, but you know.
Yeah, he dressed up the ultimatum like you really had a choice.
Yeah. So it's like, all right. Like, you know, if you go home, like he's going to say something, right?
Right.
So I decided to commit. I'm like, you know what? I'm here for this. I'll suck it up. So, you know, I'll deal with this. So I stayed Ottawa for 12 months, the whole year. Trained all summer, playing my best basketball I ever played. At the end of the summer, we have a preseason game. I think on like 2 days after our practice. 2 days. We had practice and a preseason game in 2 days. All busting our ass in practice. our season starts in a month. My third year, my season starts. And I'm at practice. We're doing a one-on-one drill. And it's just one-on-one full court, right? Guard your man. Just, it's a drill. We're in practice.
Done it a bunch of times.
We've done it a bunch of times. It's not serious like that. So when my teammates is covering me, I made a move, crossed him, and I'm just going down to score. And it's practice, so I'm not taking it too seriously. Like, I already beat him, I'm like, just do a layup. He was mad, I guess, or because I beat him, or what, like, some guys have their pride in them, or whatever it is, right? So I'm ahead of him now. I'm not looking back because it's a drill. And I'm about to do a layup, and I'm going up super light. He comes trucking behind me, jumps on my shoulders as I'm going up, and he's gone. I collapse to the ground. And this is like, literally, keep in mind, I was there all summer.
My knees just exploded, by the way.
Bro, I know man's hate injuries. Like, any athlete listen to this, you guys know that when an injury, like, it's,
I'm cringing right now.
All right, before you go any further, right, I want you to go back real quick because you said that, you know, the situation had changed. Coach was gone. You know, you felt like he did you dirty. Mm-hmm. But yet you decided to stick to the situation. Yeah. Now, in life, you know, that's going to happen a lot. You know, mm-hmm. something's going to change and you're going to be like, I don't want to do this. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to be here no more.
I went through that.
You could have made excuses and said, let me cut. Mm-hmm. But you decided to commit to it. Tell me how you motivated yourself to keep working out.
To be honest, especially with sports, I think sports has helped me a lot in terms of just prioritizing and just seeing what's important, what's not important. Then the day the coach left, but I have to perform. You know what I mean? And I came here for, I didn't come here for the coach. I came here because my goal back then was to go pro, go to Europe. Like, I had a goal. So that has nothing to do with the coach. The coach gave me the tools to go on the playing field where I can be seen and whatnot. But if he leaves, that doesn't change my goals.
Your life goes on.
Right? So my options were, okay, if he leaves, I can transfer. But if you guys know about sports transferring, if you transfer, you can't play that following year.
Right.
You gotta sit. So I'm like, are you willing to sit just because the coach that you liked left? Or are you going to deal with whatever comes and just make your way through, right? And I really didn't want to sit. That's really key. I'm like, I'm not sitting.
Right.
I'm not going to go through your sitting.
Because it's bigger than relationship.
It is. It is. And I love the guys that are there.
Right.
I'm still there for school, which is still important. I still have my courses. Like, you know what I mean?
So no regrets.
No regrets. No regrets.
100%. Even though you know how the story played out. Yeah. I mean, that was similar for me when I went to school at Northern Illinois, redshirted a full year after I did the transfer thing, redshirted for a year. And then in my next season, the fifth game, running down on a kickoff, tore my ACL. So, yeah. But what are you going to do? You just rise to the occasion or you lay down? You got to pick one.
So basically, you guys are telling me that it's still possible after you hit rock bottom, you think it's over.
100%.
There's no more solid a foundation than rock bottom.
I hit depression, Doc. I don't think I've ever told you one. Actually, I've told a couple people like in interviews and stuff, but I actually hit depression after I got hit. Like, that's literally how KA was built. That is the story. I'm always positive. I'm always like high, like I'm confident. Like, anyone meets me, there's people who meet me and they're nervous to meet me because they're like, yo, I feel like I thought you were this. I'm like, yo, I'm chill.
I mean, like, there's some basis to that,
Sure.
You know, some basis to that.
Yes.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to be open to everybody's personality. And when you get to know people, you realize, okay, well, he might act that way, but that doesn't mean that that's who he is. Exactly. There's other sides to you.
100%.
You know, so let's get deeper into this story because you blew your D because this, I don't want to say the word, but person, you know, hops on your back, whatever. What happens after this?
That is a blessing and a curse, which is funny. Actually, not even a curse, just a blessing. Because there's no real, like, the only curse out of it was painful to rehab. It was 9 months of rehab. I rehabbed faster than I should have. Because, you know, athletes, like, you just want to get back into it, right? So I remember my physiotherapist was like, you know what, take some more time. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I want to get back in there. So I came back. This is my third year now. And I came back in January. So I blew my knee in August. Okay? January is like 5 months, right? August, 4 or 5 months. Super early. I'm not ready. Like,
100%.
I tore my meniscus. So it wasn't like, it wasn't the ACL, but it was the cartilage behind my knee, if you guys know meniscuses. But it's painful. Super painful. Right. Same thing happened to Derrick Rose, actually. So 4 months is not
Right.
I'm not good.
Especially when you're jumping up and down for a living.
And it's daily. Like, it's not just you're playing basketball here and there. It's like practice morning, night. Like,
right.
A lot. But I just wanted to be back so bad. And we had a new coach. So I just had this internal, like, I got to prove to this guy, you know, like,
That makes perfect sense. I feel like.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt like I'm like, I got to come back because he doesn't know me like that. Now I'm injured. I got to come back.
You got to show him your stuff while you have the chance.
Exactly. So I lie. I come back to practice a little really early, and he's like, "You're good." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm good." He's like, "You got cleared." I was like, "I'm all right." I'm like, "I'm good." He's like, "Okay." So I go out there and I'm busting ass, like killing. I'm specifically killing this person that injured me because he's now playing my position. Keep in mind,
we're the same
position, so I got to watch every day, every season, him in my position. Just so it's just like a knife every day. I'm like, "Yo, this guy injures me, and I have to watch this guy." Like. It's like it was a lot, right? So I get back super early. I'm in practice. I'm just going at this guy. And he falls in love with that guy, the coach. So that guy can't do any wrong now. So now, even though I'm beating him in practice, he says to him, "You're going to let a guy come off injury and beat you?" It's not him. You know what I'm saying? It's a negate of me. It's like, how are you going to let this guy get injured, come back and beat you? It's not I'm doing well. It's you're not doing good enough. You know what I'm saying? That's how he was structuring the conversation. And I was taking that. I'm just like, like I was seeing what's going on. I'm like, okay. But I didn't let that get to me. I'm just going to keep busting this guy's ass. But after the practices, I was in pain. Like, because I wasn't ready. But yeah. I would never show it. Like, I'm just like, when I'm there, I'm there. But when I get home, I'm dying. Like
Secretly
killing myself, right? But I'm like, it's bigger than this. Like, I got it. You saw it ice. I do what I do. Come back. Anyway, fast forward. End of the year, he was barely playing me here and there, and he would use the excuse against me to be like, "Oh, like you should sit this game because you know maybe you just need time to rest." Like he's telling me what I need, right? So, but I knew he was trying to do, like he's trying to structure it to give him a reason not to play me, right? So I'm like, "Nah, I'm good." He's like, "So our biggest game this season is Ottawa versus Carleton. Everyone knows about this game.
Big rivalry. Same city.
It's called Scotiabank Center. 10,000 plus people in the city. Everyone comes." He comes up to me, he goes, "We're going to sit you this game. The biggest game of the season."
Dagger.
I look at him, I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, I know you just got off your injury, so, you know, we're just going to sit you this game. You can take it for some rest." I look at him, "Really? All right." He's like, "I'm going to dress. It's another player, a rookie. I'm in my third year. Guy said, I'm going to dress a rookie and sit you because you're injured or you're not fully ready. You're not telling me I'm not ready." So I'm like, "I'm not going to argue." I'm like, "Okay, all right." He sits me. He dresses the rookie. Doesn't play the rookie. At least play the guy. Like, it's a slap in the face.
I almost feel like it's a business decision because sometimes, I mean, that's happened to me before in my career in football. And I look at it and it's like, it's actually a great marketing tool because you're bringing out recruits and you're saying, "Hey, look at this guy. He signed his first year and he's playing in this big game." But then you realize he doesn't play at the end of the game because, you know, maybe the game was close. You didn't make it up. But I feel like it's a business decision.
Yeah, you said maybe the game was close?
Huh?
You see how you said maybe the game was close? We lost by 40.
Oh, man.
Couldn't even get some garbage time.
He didn't even get no garbage time. So that was just, oh, man.
So these things are building up inside you now. You're like, around what year is this?
What year is my third year? So 2009, 2010, 2011.
Okay, so wait, was J. Cole out then? Because I know when I was at Northern.
Friday Night Lights?
Yeah, when I was at Northern and even like Sideline Story, all those other ones.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, I walked on. So like, I was on the sideline in a different perspective, like just different things happening. I dealt with my injury at a different point in my career, but it was like certain songs I was just listening to and I'm like, man, this guy is wrapping my life right now. I'm sitting on the outside looking in. I'm like, yo, you guys have no idea how much time I put into this. That's why I'm so frustrated right now. But I'll just keep that to myself kind of deal. I don't know. What'd you do? You turned to the arts? Is that like something you had been doing on the side forever?
That's literally what happened. So, well, before this happened, didn't play that game, et cetera. Fast forward to the end of the year now. End of the year, we have a player coach meeting. Everyone has a player coach meeting at the end of the year. Now it's at the end of my third year now, right? He goes, "Hey, Ryan, we're going to meet on this day, this time, whatever. Come to the office. Open up. No hold bars. Like, be honest. It's a trap. That is a trap, right? That is a trap.
He's good, like, old-fashioned bait and switch.
Yeah, come on. Come on. But he's like, yeah, come to the office. We'll talk about the season, talk about how you feel, whatever. Don't anything back. Be completely honest. It's your opportunity to let me know exactly how you feel, right? I'm like, okay, cool. Go to his office. Now I'm like, he knows the dynamic that he's built now. He knows I don't like this guy. He knows I don't like him. He could, like, I'm not someone who can hide certain things. I won't disrespect anybody.
Right.
Like, you're still in power as a coach. Like, I won't disrespect you publicly. I won't embarrass you in front. Like, but you will know if I don't like you. Like, I'm not going to be like, hey. Like,
right. It's not your job to be friends.
Absolutely not. And you know what you've been doing. So it's not to be like.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. It's not to be like, I wonder why Ryan doesn't like me. Or maybe because you bench me when I bust a guy's ass in practice and I still don't play. Maybe. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe. Right? So he knows the dynamic. He knows what's going on. Anyway, get to his office and I have to make a judgment decision right now. He goes, be completely open with me. Let me know how you feel. Let it all out. In 2 seconds, I had to ask myself, okay, you can literally be honest and probably get cut, or you can suck it up and lie and come back next year and be miserable like you are right now. Make a choice. I had 2 seconds to decide this because I'm in his office. Like, I got to choose.
Crunch time.
And I'm like, I would rather let out whatever I have to let out and whatever happens, happens from that, than to pretend like I'm okay with this and just, I can't do that. That would hurt more to come back next year and just try know what I'm expecting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I let it out on him. I was like, listen, coach, with all due respect, I'm like, you are a very stubborn coach. You don't listen to your coach, your assistant coaches. You have assistant coaches for no reason. There's a reason they're here. It's because you're supposed to see things you don't see and you don't listen to them. So there's no point. I'm like, you wonder why practices are shit. It's because you want us to work hard in practice, but there's no reward at the end. So if I work hard, I bust my ass and I don't play, I might as well come and jog. Because if I'm not going to play anyways, well, I'm going to bust my ass. For what? And you are putting that through, and it's not just me, like other players that's happening to.
Right.
So it's like, you're wondering why practices are bad, because people are coming to practice with a philosophy that you are giving us that whether we work hard or not, whoever's going to play is who coach likes.
Right.
That will ruin a team.
100%.
And now, as a result, when we travel, we're separated. And you did that. Like, you did this. Like, the older guys, like the guys from the old coach, we're all together. And we're on our hotel rooms together. And the younger guys, they're together. And like,
they're fragmented.
They're fragmented. It's not the younger guys' fault. We're not mad at them. But you made this separation, right? And now they can't really come to us because they feel weird because they know there's like a riff.
So how do you respond?
He was turning red. He was like embarrassed as fuck. Like, then he started going off on me. He's like, yeah, well, you missed the most practices on the team this year. I was like, I was injured. He's like, yeah, but you didn't show up in the mornings. I was doing physio. Oh, but you could have booked your physio around. Coach, what are you saying? Like, he was trying to poke holes. He's like, when I looked through the practice sheet and the individual lists for workouts, you missed most of them. I was like,
so he wasn't even there.
Wasn't even there.
I got to look at his sheets. So I'm looking at this whole entire story, and you've analyzed the story. So that means you've gone over it in your head a lot.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
It was close to your heart. I mean, rightfully so. You dedicated your life to this. So for a certain point in time, like even when you said the D word, right? Like, you talked about going into a depression. I feel like that's some... We said every athlete dies twice.
Yep. Mm.
Like, you die when you die, but you also die when you walk away from your game. And so, like, that's something that a lot of us got to face. And I say us because I know me, myself, and a lot of people out there listening, athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, when you identify with something so closely, like, you're going to analyze situations, think, what if? You're going to see, did I make the right move or not? Like, did that play out how I envisioned it? Of course, I feel like you're invested.
Mm-hmm. So I want you to answer this question then. When in your lifetime, like in your journey of, you know, being alive, like, you know, when did that mentality of just whatever it takes, I'm just going to be persistent, whatever it takes, because you're telling me about a number of situations, coach changes, you know, injuries, exit meetings going left, you know, why did you keep going?
There's a lot to my life, a lot of layers to my life. My mom, she's a single mother still. My dad and her separated when I was born. So I never had my parents together. They've always been separate my whole life. They're still cordial, but I never had both parents on the same roof. So my whole life I've had custody. Like, I lived my mom for a few years, lived my dad for a few years, lived my mom back and forth. I've moved 10 times in my life. I've been to 8 different schools. I'm used to adjustment. Like I'll come to a school and I know when I get to that school, I might not be here next year. You know what I mean? So I won't make friends. Like I won't get close. I'll make friends because like, oh, this is a new kid, Ryan, but I won't get close. Cause I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I'm probably gonna leave next year because my mom might have to move and something might happen and we just have to get up and just gotta deal. Like, I don't question why we have to move. What I just, okay, so we're doing? All right, I'm always on board with her. Right. Yeah. So
quick question. I'm sorry I cut you off because I'm just so intrigued by, you know, your mentality. That's why, because I've studied you, you know, for a long time. Like at that moment when you're young, how do you feel? Like, how do you feel about knowing that you might just end up being somewhere else in the next year and you can't connect with people?
It's interesting because I think because I'm the oldest, I have 6 siblings right now. Back then when I was younger, I only had my younger brother who's 3 years younger than me. So it was really just me and him. But it was really just me because he's just watching me, right? And his dad wasn't really around that much. My dad's not his dad, right? So it's like, it's me. I'm like 7 years old, 8 years old, whatever year, but I'm the older brother. I'm the big brother all the time, right? So it's like, even though something might be bothering me, I always look at this, I can't let him know it's bothering me. Even if it is. And I think that just got ingrained to me because I'm like, I don't want him to have to worry about shit. And my mom doesn't want me to have to worry about shit. And I know she's doing that for me. Like, I'm aware that she's doing that. And I think the fact that even as a kid, to be aware that your parents are not showing their pain. Like, most kids don't know. Like, you know, most kids don't know what's happening in their parents' life. They just, whatever the parents show them, it's like, oh, everything's cool. But they don't know what the parents struggling with rent or struggling. Kids don't know that stuff. Well, I think when I was young enough, I was around enough that I could see that my mom was actually struggling with stuff, but would still come to us with a smile on their face and like, everything's good. So I'm like, I know something's wrong with her, but whatever strength she has right now to pretend for us, I gotta do the same thing for him, right? And that just got ingrained in me, that to the point where it wasn't pretending anymore. It was like, I actually will deal with whatever. Like, I'm good. You know what I mean? There's nothing that's hitting me right now that's enough for me to not progress.
That would explain why you've been able to be successful doing so many different things, because regardless, you know, they say it takes 10,000 hours, you know, to be excellent, anything. But you've been an athlete. You wrote a book. You got a podcast, video podcast. So where did the arts start out? Like, how did you start channeling all of that uncertainty? You know what I'm saying? Obviously, a lot of resilience. You had to stay focused amid a lot of different things and maybe find like positive outlets. So do you think that has something to do with it? Or like, where was your head at when you sat down and put KOA on paper?
So how that happened was, just jump back to that meeting with the coach. He cut me at the end of that meeting.
Damn. Spoiler alert.
So after I let out, he says to me, he goes, you know what, Ryan? I could tell there's some stuff balled up in you and I could feel that, you know, there's a little tension between us. So I just don't want a fourth-year guy coming back here next year that's just not on board with what I'm doing here. So maybe it's just best we go our separate ways. And I looked at him. I was like, all right. Shook his hand. I went downstairs, went to my locker room, unpacked my stuff. The rest of my teammates like, what are you doing? I'm like, coach just cut me. And I joke around sometimes, but never about something like that, but I joke around about shit. So people, I was just talking shit, right? I'm like, coach just cut me. They know I had my meeting. They're like, you didn't get cut. Like, stop. But they know, like, they know I've been mad for a while, right? So, like, I wonder what this guy said. Like, no one knows, but they're like, you didn't get cut. I'm like, coach just cut me, I swear. And they're like, I'm serious. They're like, nah, you didn't cut you. I'm like, okay, well, you don't see me here tomorrow? Okay. Okay. So, imagine, like, he actually cut you. I'm like, yeah, on guard. After that, 2 of my teammates, they quit. I didn't tell them to quit, but they're also pissed off at certain things. And they're like, yo, if coach cut Ryan, like, I'm not coming back and deal with this shit. So, they decided to quit on their own.
Right.
And then it just... You know, a couple guys just didn't feel like playing anymore. Like it kind of trickled down. And those are all the guys, only people that happened to were the guys from the old coach.
Right.
Because we all kind of felt that.
Y'all shared, you know, a culture together.
Right. So when the coach cut me, they're like, guys, what the hell? Like, are you stupid? Like, right. And I'm not boosting myself, but I'm not shit. So like, you didn't cut me because I'm shit. You cut me, you have your own.
It's political.
Right. You have your own reasons. Right. But after that, like, I was acting like I was tough. I was like, nah, soft. Like, whatever. Like, you know, it is what it is. Like, I'm good. I'm straight. But that was killing me. Now I've never been cut from
you
anything.
Just lost like
I've never the been last cut. From, I've never been cut out, from
like 8 years of your life, probably.
8 years.
How long have you been playing sports?
What the hell? Since I was like 8,
oh, 7. Man.
I'm in my third year. I'm what, 23, 22, like 14 years. Like, I've never been cut from anything in my life, ever. Like, nothing to be cut. Like, never. Anytime there's like teams on the wall, like when coach puts the name. Remember in high school, like coach put the team names on the wall, like
right.
players we made. I've never had to worry about that. I've never been like, did I make the team? Never.
Right.
So coach is like, you're cut. I'm like, what?
What's that feel like?
What? Yo, I was like, what? At the time, I just kind of like brushed it off because I brushed up everything else, right? But it didn't sink in till the following year when I came back. Because I at that point, I made a decision. I was about to leave Ottawa. So it was my third year. I finished my third year, got cut. Now I have a fourth year to come into. And I'm like, am I coming back as just a student?
Who? Like,
just a student?
Bro, like, I don't understand
what?
I didn't understand what that was.
I don't know what being a student is.
I don't know what that. I've never been a student. High school, middle school. Like, I've always been on the basketball team or on the sports. Like, never just been a kid that just came to school. Like, never. So I was like, I called my mom. I told her, I'm like, you know what? I'm about to come home. She's like, okay. And I'm like, yeah. And I was snapping. I'm like, I'm about to come home. Like, I'm over this. She's like, all right. And then what? I'm like, I don't know, I'll transfer to York or Ryerson or something, blah, 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 and just at least I'm home. She's like, come home and then what, Ryan? You're three years done of university already. You're more than halfway through your degree. You're gonna come home just cause? I mean, you can, you're a grown man, you do what you wanna do, but you think about that. So I was like, all right, bye. Hung up.
Grown man advice.
Yeah, right? Like she's like, I'm not gonna tell you what to do, but hey, you know, which I loved before. But so I sucked it up. I was like, you know what? All right. The only issue now, though, is because I played 3 years of basketball, course load is split up. It's like, you can take a full course as an athlete because there's so much time to dedicate to sports. So your degree takes 4 years typically, but it's spread out into five because I was playing basketball. So now I still have 5 years, but not playing basketball. So I have two more years still without basketball. Two more years, not just like
you have a huge void right now in your time, in your heart, in your imagination, everything.
I'm like, I have to do 2 years here. Like,
how are you ever past the time?
Right. So my first year there, not playing basketball. My fourth year, it was very weird, very weird. Just went to class, come home, I no practice. Like, I'm nothing. It's just like I couldn't sleep. I guess
like identity crisis.
Just not. I didn't know what I was doing. Right. I didn't know what to do with myself. I come home. I'm like. I know my guys are playing are practicing right now, but I'm not there. Like I still know the guys. Like they're still here.
Right.
I'm still in the city. Like
so you're dealing with a lot of like emotions around this. Even a year later.
A lot, because I'm still going out with them places, but it's like I'm to a limit. Like
right. Yeah. It couldn't be the same.
It wasn't the same. So I started to play a lot of. Just like R&B and like different types, different music, like from different various artists, like John Legends and just very mellow music.
The rock bottom, you put the rap away and start listening to the R&B.
On God, bro, you just wanted shit. Like you don't want that ignorant shit. You just want just something that just gets you just calm, bro. Because you're like,
oh man.
So I was doing a lot of that. Wale got me through a lot. Wow, there's a track, called Layup. I don't know if you guys know that track.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Trey Songz. I've played that song over 1,000 times. This track Layup by Wale. If you guys take anything from this podcast, the track Layup by Wale started the brand.
You know what's crazy? Okay, I know this is about you, but I had a song like that, and started a T-shirt company when I was in college. Like. With a couple of my homeboys, and I didn't have this MacBook back then, so I had to walk across campus and go to the computer lab and use the Macs that were in the computer lab to, you know, do all my designs. And so back then, you know, iPhone had about 4 gigs. I only had so many tracks, mm-hmm. and so I had one track called Bass, ASAP Rocky.
Okay,
I used to listen on repeat when I was just designing T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what you mean. Like that was your track.
It wouldn't stop playing.
It put you in the zone,
bro. That track Layup, one day this is how it started. So I had all this free time and I'm like, okay, I guess I gotta get a job. Like I've never worked in university. I've always had no, I've had no time. I've never had time. So I'm like, okay, I guess I gotta get a job. So luckily, I used to work at a car rental company back home, Mississauga, discount car rental. So I knew they had them discount car rentals out in Ottawa. So I talked to my manager. I was like, you think you can put word for me and like just transfer me to one of them here? They're like, stop, of course. Yeah, yeah, whatever you want. I got the job in like a week, which is perfect.
Perfect.
So now I'm there, but it's Ottawa. Like, it's not busy like home. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, it's not. So I'm at work sometimes, it's just empty.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. Like, let me pass the time. So this is when Instagram just started. Okay. So this, I think it's 2012 or something like that. When Instagram just starts, no one knew what Instagram really was. Just people just posting food and whatever random shit on Instagram. And I took a picture of myself, like a selfie of my, like my profile, right? And I'm at work just bored. So I took a picture of myself and I'm gonna just draw. I've always been artistic, but I've never like done it seriously. But out of boredom, I would like draw and sketch and doodle. So I'm at work. Let me just draw. Let me pass the time. So I take a picture of my face. I have my phone there on my table. I got a piece of paper and I have a pen. I have no pencil. So I can't even erase. I just have a pen. And I start sketching. And I sketch my face just off my phone, right? I take a picture of that face. I put it on Instagram. That's how everything started. People are commenting. They're like, yo, who drew that? But it was shit. Let me tell you.
Hey.
Let me tell you. But no one seen me do anything like that.
They didn't even know.
No one, like, so even though it wasn't amazing, it was decent.
But people thought you were a hooper.
I'm a baller. That's all. I'm a baller. And now I'm not playing ball. That's all people know. Oh, he's not playing ball anymore. Like, and I just, boom, I have a sketch of my face. Like, what the hell? Like, it wasn't amazing, but it was decent, right?
It exceeded their expectations.
100%.
And right? I mean, I think to me, that's the definition of amazing. You know, if I went in an art gallery and saw it, I'm expecting something different. So it might not amaze me, but
yeah.
But when I see somebody who spent 10,000 hours in one realm and then they come back to another one and look like they spent another 10,000, that's amazing.
That's true. Mm. Yeah, it's a good person. I never look at it like that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So,
so I post that.
Instagram.
That's when Instagram
was. The gateway drug of choice.
Bro, this is literally when Instagram just started. It's like no one knew what it was.
Front of the wave. I mean, I just got Instagram in February.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm like, and I mean, I'm still 20 something, but I feel like I'm much older.
Yeah. Yeah. Just you didn't jump on the wave.
I missed the wave, but like, it's good.
No, that's all good.
It's good.
Refreshing.
It's there for what it's there for.
Mm.
So like, let's jump into how Instagram, this is a good segue to get into the business portion of things. Cause you know, a lot of our listeners, that's what they're here for, but they're also here for the interpersonal, you know, what got you to where you, you know, the intrinsic, what's inside. Let's get to the business part. And you are the brand building entrepreneur. Mm. Like you have built your brand from scratch. Mm. Like you said, you jumped on the wave when Instagram started in 2012. Mm. And since then, I've seen multiple different things from you. I've seen, you know, sketchings. I've seen, you know what? Tell us what you've used your brand and how you've used Instagram to get to where you are today.
Talk about the evolution.
I've used a combo of Instagram, of Facebook, of word of mouth and of websites. I build my own websites too. So I've found a way, and I'm fortunate just, I guess, just my creativity, but I found a way to really drive people to my website because it's a very difficult thing to get people to go to another realm of activity. Like people like things simple and quick. If it's not on the app I'm in right now, it's too much work. So it's like, I was fortunate that the way I did things and the way I brand things, even right now, like, you know, I put those classroom lectures I do whenever I have a chance to. People go to my website to read the full thing. But it's not as, like, it's bigger than, like, people can think, oh, people can say, like, oh, they go to the website. It's like, okay, but it's a big deal for someone, like, for in this day and age, for someone to leave something and go to your website to actually continue.
It means they're buying in and you've created some sort of digital currency pretty much because now they're going to come to your website. They've learned a behavior. And then when you say, hey, this is what I'm offering, like, for example, your classroom lectures, which I read and I love them,
you
know, you're there. Mm-hmm. I'm there. I'm committed to 5-10 minutes and you can tell me whatever you have to tell me.
When I started with the sketching. This whole brand started with sketching. Like I said, sketching at work that day. Sketching turned to a little sketching business. That's literally how it started. So I was charging people $5 a sketch. I'm a businessman. Like I'm a businessman. I'll tell you that right now.
Are you sure? Are you not a business?
I'm a businessman. I'm a businessman. Yeah. So yeah, so when I started sketching like every single day, like every day, like 10,000 hours thing you're talking about. Like the first sketch was a shitty sketch on my face. And then I'm like, all right, let me get better. Let me start doing sketching celebrities. So I was like taking pictures off the internet, sketching celebrities and posting. I was losing followers left, right, and center. People were like, what the hell is this guy doing? But I didn't give a shit. I didn't, because I'm bigger than you guys. Like, yes. My mind is so much bigger than you guys. Can leave now. You'll be back. Trust me. And they're all back, Courtney. They're all back, Jimmy. I'm telling you right now. So I'm like, you guys can leave. That's fine. So people are unfollowing me. People are like, whatever. They're leaving. I'm like, I don't care. I'm still posting. And the people that stay, you guys stay. Cool. So I was posting sketches. And people start hitting me up. Yo, can you draw me? I'm like, cool. $5. They're like, oh, sure. Whatever. $5 is nothing. But $5 times 100 people, that's $5. Bro, I made $5 off sketching.
Wow. And the sketches are free to make because it's...
Sketching took me like 20 minutes. Like, I just wanted to just create and keep doing, right? Then I'm like, all right, I'm tired of doing this. Like, I was like, I don't want to do this no more. What's next? I'm like, all right, let me start designing. So let me start, see if I can design, get creative, do something, do a logo, do something. Came up with the King of Arts logo. First King of Arts logo, I don't know if you guys ever seen it. Maybe you might see it, but I don't know. Yeah. Is a hand on the pencil with a heart on it. So I drew a hand with a pencil in the hand. That was my first logo. Drew that. The King of Arts name came because I've been told many times that I'm a jack of all trades, which is what my parents have told me and friends have told me, which is really cool. And I was going to use that. Jack of Trades was going to be my brand name. And I was like, but that's so typical. I was like, everyone knows what Jack of Trades is. Like, that's it's not original. Mm-hmm. Like, I could be a jack of trades, but that can't be my name.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, let me come with someone else. And I was thinking, like Jack of Trades, I was thinking about cards and stuff, like just chance. And just, I was going through, I'm like, King of Hearts. I'm like, I like the King of Hearts, like hearts and love and like king. And like, I love that. But I'm like, I can't be King of Hearts. Like, nah, something else. Gotta be something different. So I'm like, all right, King of Hearts. I'm like, all right, cool. And I'm like, I'm drawing, it's art. I'm like, okay, design, it's art. I'm like, skills are arts. Like, these are all, it's all art.
Yeah.
King of art. Art. Everything is an art. Every skill is an art. And I'm like, everything I build is an art. It's a skill. Everything I learn is an art. I'm like, King of Arts. All arts. Anything. Anything I do, I want to be the king of it. Every single thing I touch, every single thing, I'm going to be a king of it. King of Arts. And it's stuck. And I'm like, this is it. That's what I'm doing. Abbreviation KOA, something real simple. Cool.
Rolls off the tongue.
Rolls off the tongue.
And you know what, though? The fact that you put that one brand on it, it explains how you've been able to so seamlessly like merge all of the different ventures, all different projects together. Because even like you're saying, you've got an Instagram account that's going to feature a whole bunch of sketches and photos and, you know, things from the podcast or whatever. But then when people click through that link in bio and get to your website, it's a seamless transition. They're getting the same experience, the same branding, like the same vibe. They know your standard. Wherever they go, they're going to get that same standard. I feel like, was that part of something you thought about making it seamless across everything you do? Or how do you approach like having so many different projects?
To be honest, most entrepreneurs or people starting, I had no idea what this would become. If I'm being honest with you, some people would be like, yeah, I knew from the start. Like, I'm a basketball player.
Right.
Turned artist, turned entrepreneur, I did not see this coming at all. I didn't even know what I was going to do. I just knew I was sad. I knew I'm not playing ball anymore. And I knew I need to find something else. That's all I knew. That's the only thing I knew. I need to find something else. I don't know what it is, but basketball's done. So figure it out, you know? And the King of Arts came up and I'm like, okay, I started designing. I started doing some t-shirts. That's how the brand started. There's a clothing brand. So it's not just brand, clothing brand of the brand, right? Because there's more different types of brand. So the clothing side of it started along with the sketching side. So I was doing sketches and doing logos and doing designs, put some on t-shirts, started selling. Those are doing well. Then I was like, okay, while I was in this like depression little stage, I would write just to get myself up, right? So I wasn't writing for you guys. I wasn't writing for nobody else. I would post it for other people to see, but it wasn't for you guys. It was me talking to myself. If I was writing stuff like, you know, one of my favorite quotes I have is, every mistake I've made has brought me right here, but this is no mistake. That's for me.
That's out of your book?
That's out of my book. Every mistake I've made.
We'll definitely link that in the show notes. We'll definitely link that.
That's one of my favorite quotes. Every mistake I've made has brought me right here, but this is no mistake. That wasn't me talking to anybody else. That's me. But someone could read that and be like, yo, that's how I feel. Which is exactly what I'm trying to do. Like, I'm building, and even my hat I'm wearing right now, if you guys see, it says, keep sleeping on me. This hat, as I've sold so many hats, it's insane. Last summer was one of my best summers ever had with this hat. It's in UK. I have one in South Africa. Like, it's all over. It's all over the place, which is crazy for me, right? I have a book in South Africa. Someone ordered my book from South Africa. Like, even if it's one person in South Africa that's reading this.
Can you understand the size of the globe versus the size of, like, the world that we lived in when we were growing up?
Trust me.
You know, right now, like, we're doing podcasts. Mm. We're making clothes. Mm-hmm. We're doing YouTube shows, all those different things. I say we as in us, all the people who are listening. But like 15 years ago, we couldn't do this kind of stuff.
At all.
Not at all.
It didn't exist.
It's like, do you have any advice for somebody who kind of wants to get their brand started, but they don't know where to begin? I mean, there's so many options out there and there's so much. It could be overwhelming.
Mm, absolutely. It is. It's overwhelming right now. I'm doing pretty well for myself and I'm still overwhelmed. That doesn't stop. The overwhelmed feeling is a good thing. I think the feeling of being overwhelmed is a good thing. Because the feeling of being overwhelmed to me is that I feel like there's so much I want to do and I can't do it. That is my feeling, overwhelmed, which is a good feeling because it's like that means you're continuously driving. Something is continuously driving you towards something. If you feel like there's so much more I want to do, I just can't do it. I don't have enough time. I complain, I don't have enough time in the day. I don't have enough time in the week. Like, that's good. I never want to have enough time. I actually never want to have enough time because you will continually chase until I die. You will continually chase. And it's not a continuous chase of, don't get me wrong, because there's a continuous chase that people do where they don't feel satisfied. And they feel like they're continuously chasing something, but they never feel satisfaction. I'm satisfied. It's a continuous chase of just growth and learning. You'll forever have to chase learning. But if you're just chasing money or just chasing stardom or like those things, that's the wrong thing to be chasing. But if you're just chasing growth and knowledge, mm-hmm. You never stop. I never want to stop.
You're not aiming for a finish line. You're just trying to live in that process. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. There's no I know everything. That'll never exist.
Right. Once you stop learning, you stop growing.
Yeah.
So I got a question for you, Dan. You know, King of Arts, it started off like Jack of All Trades. Mm. You said King of Arts. That's your brand on it. That's your twist on it. Now, normally you get the advice that you don't want to be good at a bunch of things. You want to specialize. Mm-hmm. You want to get good at one thing and get really good at it. Yeah. But I feel like you've kind of put your own twist on it and said, hey, I'm going to get really good at whatever it is that I do, 100%. Whether it's here, or here. Mm-hmm. Now, for the person that's coming up, because, you know, we are on the Come Up mm-hmm. podcast.
Yes, sir.
They don't know exactly where to start. Mm-hmm. Maybe they just came off of a football, basketball, sports related, maybe career related. Maybe you just graduated. Whatever it is, you're on a new beginning and you don't know where to start. What is one piece of advice that you can give them to kind of find their path?
I like to work backwards. And I'm not saying that like I'm revolutionary, like I'm the first person ever said this. No, but this is how I actually work. People say things and people do things. I'm one person that I do things. I get things done. I can confidently say that. So how I get things done is by working backwards. And that's just what works for me. It might not work for them, but I would say at least try that. And by working backwards, for a sense, let's start with something like the podcast. My podcast is my newest venture, let's say. Actually, photography is my newest venture, really. So photography, let's do photography. So this photography realm I'm in right now, like, this happened super fast. I don't know if you don't know me that well, but this happened in like literally in a span of 4 or 5 months, like the last 4 or 5 months. Yeah,
definitely. So we saw the whole thing without even knowing.
If you've seen it.
Oh, I've been watching.
Yeah. So I've booked 2 weddings, three engagements and like 25.
No, I've seen the post. You posted a picture that said I did like six weddings, like five engagements, 4 bar mitzvahs, a cat shaving. Like,
I got a triple double.
It's been a hot summer, y'all. Appreciate you.
Yeah. So that was all in the last 5 months.
Did you have any like apprehension stepping into a world where you're not necessarily the master yet?
Absolutely. But this is exactly why I'm saying start backwards. So this is how I did this. This is exactly how I did this. I'll tell you exactly how I did
the
this.
The formula. Hey, pay attention. You are about to get... No, okay, go ahead.
So when I first started my brand, I needed photos for my stuff, for my clothing brand. So I had a photographer friend who I was like, yo, you want to shoot for me? Blah, blah, I just need some pictures. I didn't have a camera back then. So I'm like, I need pictures of my stuff just so I can market. He's like, yeah, cool, cool, I got you. It'll be like $100 or $120. I'm like, oh, shit. Right. I was expecting to pay him at first, right? Back then, right? Like, I'm like, oh, shit, like, I'm just stunned. But I respect you. Like, cool. You know, like, I'll respect someone's craft regardless. You know what I mean? If you don't tell me it's free, no, I'll pay you. But I was like, oh, shit, okay, cool. I paid him for it. But in the shoot, he has the camera, but I'm the one that's like, yo, make them do this. Make them go here, turn them this way. Like, I'm like, I'm directing this, but only thing he has is the tool. I'm like, but he invested in that, so that's why he wins. Like, he has it. Nothing, I can't complain about that. So fast forward to now, I have my own camera. I've been using my camera for my YouTube videos, my YouTube channel and stuff. But I never use it for photography. I just use it for my videos and my YouTube trust, my YouTube stuff. So then I was like, I want to get into photography because I'm like, I want to keep building my brand as I have, but I want to also see if I could really be a photographer. It was really me being like, can I really fuck with this?
That's
like,
that same athlete in you, yeah, though. That same, like, it is. Oh no, I just got to show him real quick that I'm actually as good as I think I am.
Yeah. So I it was really me just saying like, okay, I take photos, but I wouldn't say I'm a photographer.
No.
Like, I wouldn't like, I take photos, but like, if I said a photographer, people would be like, oh, chill.
Yeah. You know what I mean? No, I take pictures on the cool. Like, right. Yeah.
So I'm like, why not? Like, why? How can I be a photographer? Like, how can I actually be one where it's like, people are like, yo, this guy's actually a photographer. You know what I mean? But I'm like, how do I get there? So I was like, all right, let me work backwards. I'm like, okay, all the pictures I see right now on Instagram or wherever, I'm like, what is it that makes me like it? Like, what, when I look at the picture, I'm like, why do I like this? Why do I say that guy's a photographer? Why do I say it? Not anybody else. Why do I say it? Me. Right? So I look at the picture, I'm just like, all right, there's lighting, there's blur, there's this, there's, you know, there's, it's really sharp, it's really crisp. I like the colors, the style. And like, I'm just looking, I'm just analyzing people's shit. I'm like, why do I like this? Right? I'm like, okay, cool. So I literally took everything that I saw and why I liked something, went to YouTube. How do you blur pictures? How do you work aperture? How do you do this? How do you do that? How do you do this? How do you do that? Like, literally every question I ever had about why I like something, I searched all of it. Taught myself how to use my camera, bought a lens, bought a new camera, went out there by myself, started practicing, started shooting random people, started shooting random things, started going off into the bushes and shooting train tracks and CN Tower and foolishness. Like, everything. And then bringing it home, editing it, going on Instagram, going on YouTube, and just training myself till I liked what I did. Like, not just okay, like, I like it because I made it. No, till I really, like, I look at the picture right now, Courtney, and I'm like, this is nasty.
It
like,
is, ugh,
like, I can truthfully say that to myself. I couldn't say that first, but I'm like, how do I like, I can look at my own stuff now objectively and be like, if someone else posted this, I would like this.
Man, I was on Instagram one day, you went live. I think it was the first print you got done.
Yeah.
And I think you were putting it up in a frame, selling it. And I'm looking at it, and mind you, you just told me right now that this started probably a few weeks before then.
Yeah, yeah.
When that happened, I was like, dang, I didn't know that he did photos too. That's cold. Like, where do you buy this? But you know, like, for me, from the outside looking in, I can't see your heart. I can't know your motivation. But the result of all of that, it's authentic and it pours out because I'm looking at the finished product like, damn, this must have taken years of practice. But it's not necessarily years of practice. It's just an intensity and like a determination to like deliberately work on one thing super hard and go through the losses and take enough L's and have enough bad pictures and have enough people tell you, yeah, this is cool.
But
right? Yeah. You know, you're just not afraid of that because in every story you've told so far, it's been...
I've been there.
I'm not worried about what other people think.
I'm not.
Not worried about what other people think. You're just trying to stay so true to yourself that, you know, eventually you find yourself and authenticity always wins like 100% of the time. So, man, this is, it's kind of sick to kind of now get the story with the pictures. And I promise you, you guys need to go back and check out, just check out the IG. That's the, like we said, that's the gateway drug. Just go take in the IG. And you'll see, but we'll post all that in the show notes so you guys can get caught up on all your KOA action.
Appreciate that.
Man, I'm trying to find out a little bit more on the business side. Mm. And I just got one more question, more on the analytical side, just for the people that, you know, they want to know numbers.
100%.
Do you feel that the people, the audience that you built since, you know, the sketching, are those the same people that are still buying from the brand, buying into the brand now? And also, how have you used Instagram specifically, and now even podcasting, to boost that brand? You know, give us a little bit of the
how you have your platforms working together.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Funny enough, I actually don't use my podcast to brand myself. That's just my own decision, though. So that might not be the best help, just because. But in the sense, I think it's already branding myself because of what I've already done. So I think by default it is, but I'm not, like, I don't plug anything on that page.
It's like when you see Steve Harvey on Family Feud.
Yeah. Like, you still, like, you're
Steve Harvey.
You're still a Steve Harvey fan, so you're there.
Right.
But he's not like, I do comedy, I do, like.
Right. I feel you.
You know what I mean? I don't know if I can really help in that sense, because my podcast, how it started was, I made a post saying, because I have my YouTube channel already. So a lot of my podcasts actually are people that fuck my YouTube channel. So that's how that kind of transitioned. Because my YouTube channel, I used to talk about relationships and like all that kind of stuff. And
that's called?
KOA Talk. KOA Talk, yeah. Which I don't know if I'll get back on that, because it just, you grow out of things. Like, those videos are still going to be there forever, but that, I'm out of that world maybe.
Not focused on it right now.
I think I'm out of that world. I might drop a video random, but it's not. There's too much other things I want to do, but like, I mean, everything has a time. Like that built something for me to where I have to adjust and make something else, right? But the podcast, yeah, I was doing a lot of relationship talk stuff on that, and my friend Akeem was like, "Yo, like I always love your relationship talk stuff on YouTube. Sometimes I can't just sit and watch a video. So like, we ever thought about doing a podcast?" He was actually the reason I started. My teammate, which is from Ottawa, actually, it's one of my teammates that we're still good friends today. He's like, "Yeah, like, well, have you ever thought about podcasts?" And I'm like, "Nah, I don't know much about that. People will listen to that? Like, people, like, I didn't know anything. I really didn't know nothing about podcasts, nothing at all." And I'm like, "People will listen to this?" He's like, "Yeah, like, I listen to them." I'm like, "How's it work? Like, what do you do? I knew nothing, bro. I knew nothing. So just to give you answer your analytics sense wise, it was all new to me. So I'm like, "Okay, did some research as I normally do, like anything else I was about to start." I'm like, "Okay, so what I gotta do. Two mics I needed, which is a Yeti. I love my Yeti mics. You guys should probably invest into those. They're really, really good mics. So I got the Yeti mics. And I'm like, "Okay, how am I going to brand this now?" This was the difficult part, where it's like you're asking, like, how do you start something, right? So I was like, "Okay, cool. First thing you got to do is, people don't like being sold to. Nobody likes stuff in their face. No one likes someone say, buy this, go here. Like, people don't like being told to do things. They just don't. They purposely will avoid it because you told them to. Even if they want to, because you told me to, now I'm not going to." Like, it's dumb, but it's just something I've observed through people just over the years. So when I started the podcast, I made a video on my YouTube channel saying, "I will now be off this for now. I'm going to be doing this. So if you guys want to see me, this is where I'm about to be," right? Then I was like, "Okay, I come up with a logo," which is the We Need to Talk. We Need to Talk logo, I just designed it myself. Just stuff I've learned as well from designing back from King of Arts, all that kind of stuff. So I taught myself all that stuff. Started integrating some other skills that I learned to build that. Then I'm like, "Okay, now, when when you start a page, your everyone's skepticism is like, okay, how do I get people to come on board, right?" I only followed people who liked stuff I did on my personal page. Not all the people that follow me, only people who engaged with me, because I don't need to follow everyone who's following me. Because I have over 5,000 followers. I don't have 5,000 likes on my pictures. I don't have 5,000 like, you know what I mean? They're not all active. They're just, some people are just there to just watch what you're doing. Some people are there to talk shit. But they'll follow you just to be there, right? So I'm like, I'm not following everyone who's following me. I'm following everyone who fucks with me. Everyone who's here. So I went through all my pictures, like, and not just pictures of my selfies, like pictures like of stuff I've created, like stuff, pictures of my quotes, pictures of my book, picture. I'm like, if you're liking this, you actually like what I'm doing. So you're going to like what I'm creating. You know what I'm saying? So if you have a personal page and you have a post where it's like you playing football, people who like your football pictures, they like what you're doing. So follow those people. If you post, you know, a picture of a selfie, people might like you because they like your face. They might like, they might think you're attractive. They might like, they're there for the wrong reasons. So I started following only people who like things I produced only. And most of the people follow me back, follow the podcast page. Cause I know if you like my book and my quote, you don't have to like that. Like you are looking, you're engaged, you're reading this.
It's about the content only.
It's about the content. Yeah. Right. So I'm like, I was only following and engaging people who actually engage with me, not just doing a mass follow, like no.
Because at the end of the day, the followers don't matter. Those numbers don't mean anything.
No.
But you're looking for the engagement.
I want the engagement in the core audience. Mm. Now, if you go to our page right now, people are commenting every week. People are commenting. But those people that are commenting are the people that care. They care. So how I built that was literally just like that. Literally focus on the people that matter. The rest will come on their own. The people that matter are the people that you focus on. If you can get 100 people, if you can get 50 people, if you can get 10, you can get 10 people that are solid for you. Those people will bring 1,000 people. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. If 10 people fuck with you like so hard, Jimmy, Courtney, like those are my guys. Every day I'll be like, yo, you listen to this guy's podcast? I will talk about you. Trust me. The majority of my photography gigs right now are, I do a good shoot with somebody. They love it. I build a good rapport with them. I hear next week, oh, I got referred to you by, I'm like, oh, shit. Like,
that's just how the good word travels.
If people like you and they actually, if you give them your attention, you can't please everyone. I don't try to please everyone. If you talk to me, I'll talk to you. If you share my stuff, I will share your stuff. You are who I'm marketing to. The other people that come on along the ride, they're here, they'll come and go, but never neglect your core. So if someone, even if one person, like there's people that comment every week and I try to respond to them because I'm like, some people might look at it as like, well, this person's annoying, like they're here every week. That's exactly who you want. Like people get on their high horse and they're like, yo, this guy's commenting every video. Like that person's gonna make you rich. That one person that's commenting, being annoying, sending you messages, oh my God, I love your stuff every week. It might seem annoying, but change your perspective. That person's messaging you every week, even if he's one person.
They identify with you.
Like that person every week is like, I need to go to the Come Up podcast. I need to listen to this. I get messages, random messages, people I don't even know, strangers. Yo, I found your podcast, or I found your book. It really helped me through this, really helped me through this. I'm like, yo, message me whenever you want. Because that relationship is what builds you.
Yeah. No, definitely, definitely. And man, just to sum this up and round it all the way to the top, because you have just...
Rewind this, go back, listen to it again now, because you understand what you're about to get. You take this all in now, because ground up, actual facts, real stories, true success. I mean, what more do you want? All right, so I'm going to give you a mic. Now there's your core audience is out there. They don't know that they're your core audience yet because they haven't been introduced to you. But through this little 1 minute snippet, they're about to decide if they want to get on the KOA bus or not. What is your best advice for somebody who's out there right now on the come up, regardless of what path they're in, but they're just sitting out on that journey towards, you know, that big goal, whatever it is their aspiration is. What is your advice for them? Based on your life experience.
I will probably say this in every episode or any interview I'm ever in, because I stand by this, I live by this. You can always do nothing at any given time. So if you try something right now and it doesn't work, and you try something else and it doesn't work, and you try something else and that doesn't work, keep trying things. Because until you're exhausted all your resources, until you've like bled and sweat and tears, like, into everything that you tried, you can always go back and do nothing. You can always say, you know what? All 100 things I tried didn't work. Now I'll just chill. But until you've done everything, the option to do nothing and chill will always be there. So why not do that right now? Why not do everything you could possibly do right now and fail, possibly succeed, halfway succeed, or fail every single time, whatever it is. If you quit, then you're at nothing anyway. So I'm going to jump until I can't jump anymore. Because when I'm done jumping and I can't get as far as I want to get to or whatever it is, I can always be like, you know what? Let's just go back to a regular person. Let's just go back to regular life. I've done everything. I'll join you in regular life now because I've tried everything else. We can just buckle down and just do the regular shit. But until you can say you've done everything and tried every single thing, there's no excuse. None.
Now, if you could take all of that and sum it up into one superpower that you have, what would that superpower be?
A superpower? Like if I was a hero or something like that?
Hey, however you want to take
you that. You are a hero. I'm saying, what is your superpower in this real life that you're living right now? What separates you?
That's a very few questions that stump me. That's a stump question. Okay. I could put into a superpower, noise canceling.
Saying it's hard to get you off your focus.
If I'm in, I don't hear nothing. Everything's noise. It's just silence, bro.
Do you ever struggle with work-life balance? Like, you know how people say you shouldn't just grind your face off 24/7? Do you ever get burnt out?
100%. But my burnt out, I get burnt out with a purpose.
So it's not the same.
Like, my burnt out isn't, oh, like, I'm so tired. My burnt out is like, okay, I'm physically too tired. I'm going to continue tomorrow.
Right. I wish I had energy because I want to keep going.
Yeah. It's not burnt out like I'm not doing anything else. I'm burnt out like, you need to sleep.
Right.
Like, right. We'll do this tomorrow. Like, let it go. Like,
right.
There's times like if I'm locked into something, I'll be up till 4:30 a.m. till it's done perfectly. Like my photography stuff, if I'm not, I do videography too. Like if a video is not done exactly how I want it to be done, I will stay up until 4:30 until I'm like, now I can sleep. Like, bro, that's how I am. Right. But there's times I'm like, sleep, bro. Like, just it's there tomorrow. But yeah, I don't get burnt out to the point where I give up. It's burnt out to just continue.
Yo, where can the people connect with you, Mr. KOA?
Very simple. MrKOA.com has everything. It has my bio, childhood, my lifestyle, my business. It has my podcast. It has my YouTube channel. It has my book. It has my photography. It has my videos. All in one place.
So if you want to find Mr. KOA and dive into everything about him, Mr. KOA, that's MRKOA.com. You can't mess it up.
And check out the book. Definitely go pick up a copy.
Yeah, my book is called Mr. KOA Quotes.
Fire. Hey, appreciate you coming through the podcast.
Thank you guys for this was fun. I've never actually had this in depth of a conversation about my story. Like I've told it here and there. Like I've done some conferences and stuff and different interviews, but I've never been like, how did you really, you know, like I've never had to do that.
Hey, I saw a quote today that said, what you give will live forever. What you keep will die with you.
Yeah. People never know. They'll never know, right? Yeah.
This will live forever on the internet. So they will know now.
Thank you. Thank you for this.
Team TCU signing off.
We're out.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You can find the Come Up Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. The greatest compliment you could give us is to leave a 5-star rating and a review on iTunes or Stitcher. This will also help us get in front of more people.
And you can connect with us on Instagram at The Come Up Podcast. Don't forget to visit us online at thecomeuppodcast.com for a detailed summary from every episode all the way back to number 1, including resource links and downloadable bonus content.